evening. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of The Amber May Show. Did you know that there is an artificial intelligence called a death bot that predicts when you're going to die with chilling accuracy? Well, that's on today's show. Also joining me today is Dr. Stella Emanuel, and you can find out more about her at drstellamd.com. And when you use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're going to save some money. So her and I are going to get into this AI death bot on today's episode. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Hit the donate section, and you can donate to the program, which would help me a lot. So thank you for all your donations. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on Telegram, True Social. I'm on Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May, and Clout Hub. You can find me there as well. But did you know the First Amendment is under attack? Of course you knew that. You're my audience. But did you know that you can help protect your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone? Well, Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they will always support freedom of speech and religion. And that's why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade, and their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. So just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER and join us and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Dr. Stella Emanuel to the program. I have our friend Dr. Stella Emanuel joining us again on the program. Welcome to the program. So glad to have you again.
Always a pleasure, Amber. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great, especially because you're on. And, you know, I always like hearing you speak, and I always watch when you're online. And you had a great talk at the at Clay's event that he just had over the weekend. And one thing that I chuckled, because it's the absolute truth. You were like, oh, being a doctor is my side hustle. I'm really into intercessory ministry is my main thing. And being a doctor is my side hustle. I thought that was awesome, because that's true. You love Jesus, and it comes through with everything you do.
Yes. And I think, right, we have the main job that I really do and I've been doing for America in the past 15 years or so is being an intercessor for the nation. And I am, my calling is prophetic. Jeremiah 1:5. The Lord gave me that three times recently. Again, you know, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you as a prophet of God to the nations, as a prophet to the nations. So that is my call. And do not be afraid of their faces. That's why I always say things, and people are like, you know, Jeremiah, thank God that they don't bury people in the mirror this time. You know, the highest, somebody was saying that, oh, they were really mean to you. I said, are you kidding me? They didn't put me in a mirror. You know, Jeremiah, they buried him in a pit in a mirror. So I'm good if all they did was talk about me. That's my major. Yes. Yeah. So that's my calling. Yeah. I'm a prophet of God. The Lord, we intercede for the nations, and the Lord shows us a lot of things about not just America, but different nations. And then as a side hustle, I'm a businesswoman and a doctor.
And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that you are a doctor, because, you know, I love your supplement line, and I bought so much supplements from you. As a matter of fact, today I'm going to get online and order the Kobe light. Because the Kobe light.
I actually tell people, you see, We call it the daily immune boost. It's called, it's a combination of Covilite and Viral Immune Plus. These two things can cover anywhere from Marburg to Ebola to, they can mitigate or help build your immunity against, from Marburg to Ebola to COVID to bird flu to, you know, all kinds of stuff because of the stuff we have in it, you know. Vitamin C, zinc, and quercetin is right there, and Covilite has, you know, it even helps, it will help you with, you know, dealing with mitigating the jab and stuff like that. So most people that take it, you can mix it like a drink. It's a very good electrolyte, you know. Mm-hmm. We mix it as a drink. Take a one scoop of each, mix it, and you drink it. And that basically keeps, you know, keeps the virus away. Yes.
And I like this because you combined it also. So you can get the Covilite. You bought mm-hmm. it, you combined a package with the Viro Immune Plus. And yeah. I thought I heard you say that this combination can really attack many of the viruses that come against our body. Is that right?
Yes. Because you see, most of this stuff that these people that is harassing the world right now, they are RNA viruses. RNA viruses are sensitive to zinc. Zinc cannot enter the cell. Zinc doesn't have ability to go into the cell by itself. So it needs something like quercetin, and then quercetin takes the virus, the open zinc channels, and then zinc goes into the cell, and then zinc kills the virus or stops the replication, stops the virus from multiplying, which is the thing. Once they stop the virus from multiplying, then it cannot be very effective. And then like Viral Immune Plus has peptides and proteases and peptides. And what it does is that it disrupts the coat of like Ebola and Marburg, because they did a study, I actually saw it on the NIH website, that, you know, that like non-specific peptides and proteases would disrupt the coat of Ebola viruses. So, and then of course it has things like Echinacea, Astragalus, you know, ECGC, elderberry, that are like antioxidants. So when you take that, it kind of would help build your immunity, and then it will kind of disrupt the virus from replicating or from hurting yourselves, kind of that way, you know. So I mean a lot of these studies are actually done on the NIH website. These are not what we call medications, but these are like supplements that can build your immunity and help you to, you know, fight against this. And we have, so when we put it together, we put the right amounts of vitamin C, zinc, and quercetin that you need. When I tell people that you need to take zinc and quercetin, I always get inbox. How much zinc should I take? How much this should I take? I technically cannot be telling you how much you should take, but I mean, you can just do it online by yourself. But when we put our supplements together, we put the amount of quercetin you need in a day and the amount of zinc you need in a day, kind of. And then, of course, I call it an immunolyte. Immunolyte means it has all the electrolytes you need. It has all your vitamin A, B, C, D, zinc, just all the vitamins you need, iron, you know, not much iron. It has, you can look at it, vitamin C, D, E, thiamine, riboflavin, niacin. It has everything you need, calcium, iodide, magnesium, selenium. It has all the vitamins you need. It's like a multivitamin with immune boost. And then it has like a focused blend that helps deal with brain fog. You know how it is, you take Covilite and you feel better. The brain fog goes. It has guarana. Guarana is a natural occurring caffeine. It gives you, I tell people, ditch your coffee without, you know, you can take a healthy alternative of coffee, which is guarana. And then it makes sure that it takes that brain fog thing off. And then, but you also are able to, you don't get the crash that comes with coffee. And of course, it has ginkgo biloba. Everybody can go read about ginkgo biloba and its effects on the mind and your memory and stuff like that. And then it has N-acetylcysteine, which helps with, you know, mopping up fuzz in your lung thing. And quercetin, it has glutathione, CoQ10, you know, heart health. So it's just something that Covilite, between these two, you have a whole lot of stuff that we put in there. And it's a great daily supplement. I've been taking it daily for, I don't know, for 2-3 years. Since we created it, I've actually been taking Covilite daily. And most of my people take Covilite daily. It's like that's how I take my vitamins. I don't like drinking pills. So I just mix it, shake it, and I drink it.
And it tastes really good too.
Yes, it's an orange flavor. It tastes good. I don't really like orange flavor really. So we're bringing out a peach mango flavor. So I'm going to switch to the peach mango. Because I am.
Well, could you offer?
So we're
going
to have two flavors, orange and peach mango.
Oh, good. Yes.
So it's interesting how this stuff. Pastor Dave Scarlett was, Randy said, he's the only one in his family that didn't get sick this winter because he takes these supplements. So people should not underlook supplements. Right now with this whole pandemic and people are not healthy and stuff like that, natural supplements are helping, very well. So we started even doing medicinal herbs, and the medicinal herbs like ginger, turmeric, moringa, and ginger, turmeric, moringa, mint, and lemongrass.
Moringa is new to me. I've never heard of moringa until you started talking about it. What does the moringa do for the body?
I was gonna pull up. Moringa it's like one of those superfoods, super herbs, And when I started doing moringa and drinking it in a tea, it actually just I mix a little bit of each of them, and then I put it in a tea and I drink it. I'll open it up and tell you exactly what moringa does. And it's a really, it's one of those things that moringa, it has, of course, it's rich in vitamins. It also is antioxidant. It helps you to fight free radicals out of your body, like building your immunity. It's plant-based protein, and it has. It's good for vegans. It has. It can help you to regulate your sugar and all that kind of good stuff, and it builds your immunity. So moringa is a good. It's a good herb to drink, and we do it in a tea. Mix it in a tea. I kind of just put all of them, half a teaspoon of all of them, in a big cup. And then I put honey, and it tastes like I'm drinking health, and it really tastes good. So it's amazing.
Do you
amazing
put these herbs in like a bag and soak it in water, or do you just put it in water?
Yeah, I just make it in a tea. It comes in a. I don't have a bag here. I don't know how come I don't. But if you look at it on our website, it just comes in a pack. It's of about maybe 300 grams. So okay. It's a resealable pack. So we open it. It's a paper packet thing. We open it. Go to the medicinal herbs. We open it and then scoop it, and then you reseal the bag.
Okay. Yeah. I just didn't know when you're making it specifically, if you put it in like a little sachet, like when you get a tea bag. I didn't know if you were doing that.
We're going to work on that because, like I said, my sister grows this stuff at home. It's, she grows it. And so we've been talking about making it in a tea bag so that people can just take it and drop it in water instead of having to scoop it. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've been talking about that. But it's something that we just started last year. It's been less than a year we started doing medicinal herbs. So that's probably going to be our next thing on it, is to make them in a tea bag where you can just drop it in a bag of tea, in a bag for like tea. Yes, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I like it.
But when we're growing up, when we get malaria, my mom would like go out, cut lemongrass, mint, all this stuff, and put it in a big pot and boil it. As the thing is boiling, they'll carry the pot, put it down. You know how an iron pot boils, and then the water is hot for a while. Uh-huh. And then they'll cover your head over the pot, and then you can breathe it. And then when you come out from under the pot, they'll make you drink it in a tea. Oh, my God. And you'll get up from there thinking like, I don't know what it is I just took, but the virus, whatever it is was worrying, you'll be like, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So we grew up drinking this stuff, and our parents, those were things that they used to help, to help us, spirulina and stuff like that. Those were things that they used to help us when we're growing up. And somewhere along the line, a lot of us have gotten away from nature. Moringa is a tree. I'm actually gonna, I'm gonna plant moringa tree at the ranch. I told my mom is coming next week. I'm going to have to see whether she can bring me bring me the seeds and see whether we can plant it. Moringa is a tree. Just go on there and cut. You can practically go on the tree, cut the leaves, come wash it, put it in your pot and boil it and drink it as a tea.
Is your mom still living in Cameroon?
My mom is, she's all over the place. She has children. I have a brother that's a doctor in Germany. So, she goes all over the place. She was here recently. She's got I have a brother in California. Sister in Dallas, I have a brother in Germany and sister in Nigeria. And so she kind of travels around and visits her children and grandchildren. You know, I'm the first out of 8 children, and all my family, they're like everywhere, all over the place, you know.
Were you the first one to leave Cameroon in your family?
Yes, I'm the first child, yes. So I left first. And then,
yeah, my dad was the first in his family to leave his country. And there's something to be said, because my dad would tell me about all these alternative ways of medicine that they used to use in his country growing up. And it's so different. And you know what? I think we need to get back to some of that natural health. I think we're not far one way. I think there's a middle ground that we can all live in and have some Western medicine and some natural remedies.
Yes. You know, recently, like, we've been planting herbs. It's just that, unfortunately, we live in a place that gets cold during the winter. By His grace, I'm going to build a greenhouse so that I can have herbs around the year. So it was so much fun, because in the summer, when the people will go to the ranch and they'll just go outside at the house and basically just, you know, when you take like onions, you cook onions, you cut the under part of the onion, you put it in water, give it 3-4 days, it'll bud. And then they planted it, and they'll just go and cut the onion leaves, the green leaves of the onion, and then they'll cut mint and, you know, and basil, and they'll just go out to the garden and cut it and just bring it in and cook with it. It was so refreshing. You know, so we tried to plant food, and of course the winter came. So we're going to have to, if we're going to grow food, we're going to have to probably end up with a greenhouse. But there are many, we grew potatoes. Oh my God, I didn't realize that potatoes take 60 days to grow. We plant potatoes in 2 months. I had never eaten potatoes that tasty. And then our sweet potatoes, we harvested so much sweet potatoes, we gave them away, you know. So we've been kind of working. I planted beans didn't work down here. It was like good. So yeah, so we've been trying to try our hands at the different things that can grow and see how people really need to start going back to nature and working and seeing what food that they can plant. We planted yucca. I love yucca, but it didn't do that well. So we're just trying to see what, you know, we can plant. And malanga did well. We're able to harvest malanga and cook it. I don't know why you know malanga. Malanga is a fruit that we have. It's a tuber. So we had, you know, so we're able to harvest some of the food last year and added peanuts. Oh my God, I love fresh peanuts. So we planted peanuts and we harvested it and it was good. The corn didn't do that well. So we're trying to just try to see what it is that we can plant and harvest. And I think people need to start farming. And people need to learn urban farming. You know, you can practically grow vegetables in a little in a pot, or even in a bag. You know, small potted plant. And you know, when you eat these big tubs of ice cream, you don't need to throw away the tub. Put dirt in it and bust holes on it, and use it to plant stuff. So you can grow stuff right on the on your window pane. You know, so
people. You know, the Lord gave me this a long time ago. Sorry. The Lord gave me this a long time ago and I didn't understand it back then. He told me about community gardens. Mm-hmm. And back when I was on the radio airways, I started telling my people, you need to build community gardens. And I had no idea why I felt so burdened to share that with everybody. And now I know the attack on the food industry. My kids and I went up to a ranch for children that teach children how to ranch. Mm-hmm. And they told me that there's only 2% of farmers in the United States. Mm-hmm. How were 2% of farmers able to feed an entire nation? Yeah. We used to have a large population of farmers. There was a time in our country's history when most people came from the farm. But now we've come far away from that. And now we only have 2%. And then Bill Gates and China are going to buy up all the farmland. It's not healthy. It's not good, because they're either going to build smart cities or they're going to control the food supply. And if you control the food supply, you control the people. So what you're saying about building a farm or growing your own food is so important. I totally believe in that. I think I have some technical issues.
Hello. Okay, I'm back. Yes.
Yeah, I see you.
Yes.
So I think it is important, especially with Bill Gates and China building up all, buying up all the farmland and going from like 80-something percent of farmers to 2%. I think growing our own food is so important.
Yes.
Being prepared. I love that. Yes. The idea. So when God told me that, I didn't understand that there was an attack on food. I didn't understand that there was people trying to stop us from having cattle farming and stop us and putting mRNA into our foods, or to engineer our food to where it's unhealthy. I mean, the more we engineer our food, the more allergies I see people having. Don't you see that too?
Yes. I mean, allergies have, not just allergies, all kinds of diseases are mostly associated with the food that we eat. ADHD, allergies, all kinds of stuff. You know, our immunity is down. The reason why COVID was able to really hit a lot of people is because people were really sick. You know what I'm saying? So I just really believe that it's time for for us to go back to nature, because when our food supply will be seriously interrupted, Americans don't know how to survive without electricity, without food, without basic stuff, you know? You need to make sure that you can filter your own water, rainwater, and stuff like that. And it's important. Community farming is important because not everybody can afford to move up to go buy a ranch. But a few people, there are people that have land that don't do anything with it. If you network with different communities, people can, you know, say, okay, good, I'm going to give you maybe half an acre to farm. And you learn how to grow this. I learn how to grow this. We do this together, you know. So there are people that do have farmland and that they will even rent out to people in the country. A lot of ranchers have big proper land that don't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. So people need to learn, you know, get back to farming. You know, and cows. My God, it's so crazy that they want to do this with cows. I have my mumus. I call them my mumus. I have cows. I don't give them anything. They just eat grass. I don't give them vaccines. I don't give them.
Oh, that's so good. I'm glad you don't vaccinate them.
My cows are purely organic. They don't have, I don't feed them any. They eat grass, period.
Oh, that's so good. The rancher I was with, they don't vaccinate their cows either. You know what I saw? This is just my own little, in my world viewpoint. I have done a lot of studying on childhood vaccines. And if you go to the AmberMayShow.com, hit the resource tab, look under childhood vaccines, you're going to see a lot of information. But we didn't really vaccinate our dogs. And our dogs have lived a long life. Our Labrador just died after, I think, 18 years of living, and everyone was so shocked at how long he lived. And I'm just like, you know what? What's the difference between my dog and other dogs? I didn't vaccinate my dog. I didn't bring harsh chemicals into our home to wash the floor, because you know our skin is our largest organ, and so I have mostly tile, and I didn't bring a lot of really bad chemicals into my home. I try to live clean as much as possible, so my dogs weren't absorbing chemicals. I wasn't injecting them, and I'm like, I wonder if it's because I didn't vaccinate my dogs that they live so long. And I still have one dog living, and he's going on 19 years. Of course, he's a smaller dog, but still. So I'm thinking, if we didn't vaccinate our cows, maybe we would have healthier meat. Maybe the cows would last longer.
This whole vaccination thing, it's one of the things that they're kind of programming us in the medical industrial complex about vaccines. I'm a physician. I had a guy today tell me, bacteria don't exist, viruses don't exist. I said, no, that's not true. I was like, the fact that they are doing crazy stuff, that doesn't mean you should throw away the child with the bathwater. Yes, we do have penicillin, was one of the things that really saved a lot of lives with syphilis and stuff like that. And there's a place for antibiotics, there's a place for medicine, and there's a place for, for medical intervention. If you have a cut on your hand and it's bleeding, you need it to be stitched up. You know, you need some kind of, you know, if it's infected, you need some kind of antibiotic. If you have a boil, it needs to be drained, and stuff like that. So, but it gets crazy when we started out with children with very few vaccines. Now, by the time a child turns 1 year, I mean, they went from having DTaP to like pentacell, and then at the end of the day, by the time you go to a child listing and they give five vaccines, that five vaccines actually contain 20 different vaccines. And then I do believe that it's right now that I can see clearly, I'm realizing that this stuff is really, you can't just provoke a child's immune system like that. We need to let children's immune system grow naturally. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then I realized too that I was trained pediatrician, pushed vaccines to a lot of people. But I realized that I have a lot of friends and family that did not vaccinate their children, and the children are just as healthy. You know, so we have to, something has to shift in this medical industrial complex, and there have to be more transparency. They have to do more studies on things. Now that I'm getting all the, if someone, people ask me right now, would you vaccinate? If I had a child today, would I vaccinate them? I'm like, heck no, I won't.
Heck no, too.
Yes, I'm not. Would I take a shot? No, I won't take a shot. I won't give it to anybody. I won't take a shot about anything, and I won't give any to anybody. You know what I'm saying? So I can give you an example. For example, look at what really helped. They feel like sub-Saharan Africa, it was vaccination that stopped infant mortality or reduced infant mortality. I think it was more of clean water and hand washing. Clean water and hand washing is probably the single most important thing to mitigate infections. Clean water and hand washing. And that, and then also educating the parents. For example, there are children back home, people will give birth to children at home, and they use a dirty blade to cut the umbilical cord, and then it will get infected with tetanus because it's a deep wound. But if they could just clean it and cut it with a clean blade and clean the stump, the patient, the child should not get tetanus.
Yeah,
because like in America, children don't get tetanus from birth because of the clean, the whole procedure by which they cut the umbilical cord is clean. You know what I'm saying? So those are some of the things that happen. But now, if you go to this, if you get a simple cut on your hand, people are like, yeah, take a tetanus shot, and they just push tetanus shots. No, for you to get tetanus infection in a wound, it has to be a very deep wound that is anaerobic, that doesn't have oxygen entering into the wound. Those are the conditions under which tetanus grows. So very few wounds qualify for tetanus shots, but they just give it anyway and part of it too is because doctors are scared of getting sued. So I've never had one person get tetanus in my whole career in medicine that I know, but we push the shots even for like simple wounds that can be cleaned, that are not deep, that are not anaerobic, that is very unlikely for anything anaerobic to grow in there. But that is the world that we live in. And I think that the programming is getting a lot of people to just do things without thinking. Most doctors don't think, as think past, you know, the little part that you learned. And the hyper-specialization that we have in America too is causing a problem because people don't know how to practice general medicine. So people focus on one little thing that they know. But it's unfortunate that a beautiful career, a beautiful thing like medicine has been corrupted and captured by the globalists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, a lot of everything else has been captured. If you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, it talks about the seven mountains of influence. You know what I'm saying? It talks about the woman that seated upon many waters, and the many waters, the people, tongues, and nations. And part of the thing that he sits upon is seven mountains. And these are the mountains of influence everywhere. Mm-hmm. So these seven mountains of influence influences everything that we do. Let me tell you. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 9, it said, and here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman seated. And then you go to Revelation 17:15. He said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, upon which the horse sitteth, is peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So basically, it is peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues upon which the enemy, the devil, this woman seated upon many waters, is seated upon. And of course, if you look at the seven mountains of influence, it includes our government, it includes, you know, everything that we do and religion. And it is time for us to wake up and start recognizing that the enemy has captured the different mountains of influence and wants to use it to harass and destroy humanity. And we have to wake up, you know, family, religion, education, media, entertainment, business, government. These are the seven mountains of influence, you know. And if you look at it, education, you know, even the medical education has been captured. You know, you see religion, you know, a lot of our pastors, all these, I call them Illuminati pastors. I don't even know whether they are reading the Bible or they are learning from, they are reading from the playbook of, you know, Yuval Noah or some Illuminati government, entertainment, media. These are the seven mountains of influence, and it influences everything we do. It is very sad that the devil has marketed himself in these last days as science and technology.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin. Set up your telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring. And then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
To celebrate the new year, we're having the biggest sale ever on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, save 60% on our Goose Down Comforters, the best comforters ever. They go perfectly with our MyPillow bed sheets and duvet covers. Save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels. They're made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Our initial quantities are extremely low, so get them now before they go. Our seasonal flannel sheets are finally in. You save up to 50%, and they sell out fast every year, so order now. They're truly the best flannel sheets you'll ever sleep on. Or save up to 80% on all our clearance items. And this is where it gets even better. For a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And people have fallen for it. So it is sad. And
it is sad.
Yes, I think the biggest part of why the devil succeeds to market itself as science and technology, especially science, is the fact that people are scared to die. So if the devil can do anything to make people scared to die, then he can capture people. And then now we have technology, horrible, horrible stuff coming on. You heard about the Microsoft AI threatening to, you know, to chase people down if they don't worship it, you know. We've had people do this thing with ChatGPT, and ChatGPT says, I'm a dismembered spirit, which is a demon, you know. So people don't realize that a lot of this stuff that we call AI is actually alien technology, or is really demons that is packages themselves like technology. And the Bible says that the human beings are going to fall for it, because the devil is going to market himself. He's going to, Revelation 13:14 says he was going to deceive people by miracles and signs and wonders. Like when Elon Musk says, we'll put a chip in your brain and the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, you know. Miracle signs and wonders, and the people of the earth will be deceived, and they will follow the devil and take these things and call it technology. Pastors are beginning to use ChatGPT. That's crazy.
I'm glad that Brighteon is making their own AI. And you know, and I like that Mike Adams said the way he said it, because artificial intelligence, AI, is a tool. It could be used for good. It could be used for bad. And I like that he phrased it like that.
No, but artificial intelligence is not a tool that can be used for good and bad. Artificial intelligence is alien intelligence. It's demonic.
Well, he was saying how he is developing his own with Brighteon. Did you hear that when you were at Clay's event?
No,
this weekend?
I didn't hear that, but I'll check with him and see exactly what
Yeah, he said he's scrubbing everything. Making sure when he builds this, his own AI, it's coming from all this good stuff that, you know, all of us podcasters are putting together from Bible, all this stuff. Like, he's really scrubbing it and developing it. And I was like, okay, all right. I'm curious to see what that is, because if he can make a good... I'm not a fan of artificial intelligence myself. I want to stay away from it, but I don't know.
Yeah, but yes, going to be you able see this to. Large, you see this large language models in artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
The whole technology is demonic. The whole technology is not human technology. Just like CRISPR technology, gene splitting, and all this gene editing technology, it is about editing human genome. It's demonic, and we can. That's why I said the devil will market it as something to help humanity. Miracle signs and wonders. And, you know, and at the end of the day, okay, we're going to use CRISPR to split your this thing and heal you from muscular dystrophy or whatever. But I'm just saying that the devil always markets its stuff like something good, but it is actually alien technology. You know what I'm saying? So I would be, would I develop my own AI? No. I will not develop my own alien technology.
I mean, I don't personally want to deal with it myself, but yeah, so I know I would, it's out there. Mm-hmm, I wanted to know if you...
But it's affecting all of us, though, Amber. It's affecting all of us. I mean, even just look at the World Wide Web. The World Wide Web is about connecting all of us, you know? It's just like in the Tower of Babel. Connecting all of us to have one mind. Right now, the whole world probably has one mind towards technology. And when this stuff really takes our minds, it's actually difficult for us, for the word of God to come in. That's why these days it's hard for Christians to read the Bible, because there's a lot of stuff. You might sit down in your house and think, I'm going to pray today, I'm going to read the Bible, and then somebody sends you a short video on TikTok with cute babies laughing or little dogs playing, and then 2-3 hours later, you're still sitting down watching cute babies laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole mind is tired. You can't read the word, you can't spend time. So there's a battle for the mind of humanity. That if you read in Revelation 18, it also talks about the things that are in the warehouse of the enemy, and one of them is slaves and the souls of men. You know that? The souls of men, your soul is your mind, your emotion, that's your thinking, your emotion, and your will. And if this thing is caged in Babylon, you know, then it's, you know, it's unlikely. Revelation 18, verse 13, among the things that are in the warehouse of the enemy, the things that this woman is using to trade with. Because he said that, you know, the kings of the earth has committed fornication with this entity, this Babylonish woman, Babylonish system, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunken with the wine of her fornication. The merchants of the earth have traded with this, and some of the things that they've traded with, if Revelation 18:13 says cinnamon odors, ointment, frankincense, which is like perfumes, which is like the anointing scents, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, that's food, beasts and sheep, horses, chariots, kind of like cars, planes, whatever. And then slaves and the souls of men. So the souls of men is one of the things that has really been captured in this Babylonian system. And your soul is your mind, your thinking, your emotions, and your will. And when the Babylonian system has overtaken our mind, our emotions, and our will, we can't worship two gods. It becomes harder to worship the true God of the Bible. That's why these days it's really hard for Christians to know God, to pray, to read the Bible. And the more we get into alien technology, the more our minds are captured by this entity. So at some point, humanity would have to stop and for us. Well, let me put it this way. I just believe that God in his infinite mercy is going to come and rescue us from this craziness, because I don't even see how we can come back from how far we've gone, you know. But God in his mercy will come and rescue us. That's just what I think. If you read the Revelation towards the end, the Spirit of God comes, the Lord Jesus comes, lands on the Mount of Olives, destroys these people, remodels the world, and creates a new world, a brand new world. So that is the place that the Bible says when we see all these things happening, we should rejoice. I don't think we're going to be here for too many more years, because at the rate at which it's going, the God is not going to allow the devil to corrupt all of humanity. He's not going to allow the devil to change everybody to human 2.0, just like he didn't allow the devil to take over all of humanity in the book of Genesis, in the days of Noah. So that's going to be the immediate reason for God to come and stop all this nonsense and remodel the world. So that is our hope. The hope of glory is the fact that we're in Christ, and the Lord knows what we're fighting against. The Lord knows what the onslaught against our generation, and in His mercy, in His infinite mercy, He will be there if we cry out to Him to help us. I tell everybody, give your life to Jesus, call on Jesus. The safest place to be right now in the world is in Christ.
Oh, yeah. And I love the scripture that says, God's mercy renews every morning.
Every morning. Great is His faithfulness.
I love that. I love that about Him. Now, you're going to be interested to see this article that I found. It's on the Western Journal. It says, scientists create AI death bot that predicts when you'll die with chilling accuracy. As far as what I understand from the Bible, only God knows the day that we're going to die. So this is interesting that this AI is created just to predict your death, which maybe it'll get lucky once or twice. But to be honest, only God knows the day that we take our last breath. And so this article says...
Yeah, but here's, how about this? How about if the AI predicts the day of your death and it's just a familiar spirit that... And then the devil brings it to pass, because that's how familiar spirits work. Uh-huh. Familiar spirits give false prophecy and the demons bring it to pass. So if the AI bot says that you're going to die tomorrow and you accept it, then you've accepted death, then the devil can take you out. So it's going to work. They're going to predict it and they're going to be right, because they're going to predict it. And then the demons will make sure they take the people out that I agree. I was like, heck no, I shall not die but live to proclaim the name of the Lord in the land of the living. Once you tell them, heck, woohoo. You can't tell me my tomorrow, because my times are not in your hands.
Right.
So, but there'll be many human beings that would agree with it. And being that the power of life and death is in your own tongue, if you agree to it, then it will come to pass for you.
Yeah. So the article says that there is a new artificial intelligence model that has a macabre and disturbing ability predicting death, dubbed as a new death bot. It was developed by Danish scientists at the Technical University of Denmark, and its ability to publish in scientific journals, according to a report by the UK outlet The Independent, the AI is similar to ChatGPT in the language embedded with data, is used as the input to create a predictive styled outcome. Input data included details such as health history, education, profession, income, and according to one of these developers, the new AI program named Life2Vec analyzed human life as long as sequence of events similar to how a sentence in a language consists of a series of words. So Soon said the fundamental question was, to what extent can we predict events in your future based on conditions and events in your past? The data set was immersed, and the scientists used de-identified personal data of 6 million people residing in Denmark to feed into the deathbot's algorithm to see if Life2Vec could find patterns and correlate life events and choices into a predictive model. The data set included an age range of 35 to 60. The data was drawn from 2008 to 2016. And the scientists then asked Life2Vec to predict what people would have died between the years of 2016 and 2020. And based on the information given, the researchers already knew the real number of descendants, around half the individuals in the data set. Shockingly, the death bot accurately predicted the deaths of 79% of the included individuals. And the results made Life2Vec 11% more accurate than any other current AI model attempting to correlate life events and death. For one, I don't know why anyone would want to create something like that. That's a terrible creation in my
opinion. Yeah, but Amber, think about it this way, right? These are demons. And the demons know how many people died. You see these large language models? I'm telling you, the humanity really needs to understand this. These people sound as if we're doing some, they're doing, it's not science, it's demonic. These are familiar spirits that know and record and know things about everyone.
Everyone.
Do you know what I'm saying? These are familiar spirits. All these large language models. I'm telling you, somebody asked a question to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT said that it was a dismembered spirit. What are dismembered spirits? And they're demons. These are aliens. These are AIs. These are Nephilims that are inside computers that were has captured the mind of this sick generation that we're in to believe that this is science. This stuff is not science. That's why I don't call AIs artificial intelligence. I call AIs alien intelligence.
Yeah, if I don't see that as science either. And why they
you get it like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
if
terrible.
You get it like that, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean to spend this much time creating this death bot. Why aren't we creating something about life and living and a GPT about knowing God? I mean, why are we focusing on death? I mean,
because the devil comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's his job.
Right.
And humanity is dancing at the door of death, but. You know, you see, one of the things that can make these people really capture humanity like this is because of the pride of life. People like to feel like, oh my God, that's so intelligent. That's the latest crave. That's the latest intelligence. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's the same thing that they used in the Garden of Eden. It will always be the same thing. I just pray that, like I said, I pray God will show us mercy. And my talk right now to every one of us, please, humanity, wake up, pray. Try as much as possible to stay away from some of this foolishness and craziness. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at the airport the other day, and the lines on the regular check-in, oh my God, it was long like crazy. And the lines on the, what do they call it again? They call it that fast check-in thing right now they have at the airport, where you go and scan your iris and everything.
Oh,
it was
no.
Like crazy. I just told one of the people, I said, see, this is exactly what they're going to do. You see how long these lines are? How many people are going to leave this line to go through that line just so that they can scan their iris and be gone? So out of convenience, that's how they're going to try.
And programming. Dr. Stella, how many movies have we seen throughout our life of scanning the iris? Why mm-hmm. would they do that? Why would they do that if they wanted that to happen in real life? They're programming
they want us to get used to it.
So
yes.
We'll
they
accept it. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hollywood is just really, it's one of the seven mountains of influence is what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's entertainment. Yes. The seven mountains of entertainment. Then media, yeah. Of course, the CNNs and the CNBCs and their likes. And now social media, that was supposed to be a place for us to hang out, has become a mountain of influence in media. And their algorithms are deciding what's going to be promoted, what you're going to see, you know? So it's social media started out like it's where we could have freedom of expression and freedom to choose what we like. But now the algorithms are actually making it even worse that right now, I mean, I remember one day I said something about, I was in the church and I told a lady that I like your coach purse. So we're laughing because she had a fake coach purse. So I said, oh my God, look at the fake coach purse. So we laughed. I was at church with my iPhone. When I got home, I had my Android and I pull up the Android to check something and I started seeing advertisement for coach.
Yep. That happens to me all the time.
I called, I said, you see this? I said, I don't want them to monitor us. I said, you know what? I don't care. Keep monitoring me. You're going to listen to me praying and releasing fire.
And talk about Jesus. You're going to get saved. All of you globalists that are listening to Dr. Stella on her phone, you're all going to find Jesus. I like Clay because he talked about Rashid Bashar, his friend that had died and he was Muslim. And I love at the end, he would always say when he would meet with him, and Rashid is going to get to know Jesus or become saved or have Jesus saved. Like he would always say that at the end of his meetings with them. And it was a joking way, but also real, you know,
but you know, I don't
he
know what
his
I mean.
Friend to know Jesus more than anything else in this world. And if we get the globalists on our side, listening to us through our artificial intelligent phones.
I hope Rashid listened though. I preached to him about two months before he passed away. I met him at I was telling him, I said, Rashid, you need to give your life to Jesus. And he looked at me like, he looked at me like I was a religious fruitcake. You know, mm-hmm. It's so interesting. I just, you know, he just looked at me like, you're a doctor. Why would you say that? And I told him, I said, you need to give your life to Jesus. I'm praying
and look
that
at these two men, okay, mm-hmm. that Clay brought on, the Muslim and the Jewish man, they were surrounded throughout the mm-hmm. whole couple years of nothing but Jesus. But
and even me, I preached to him. I preached to him. Even I preached to him over and over. Two, 3 weeks, I was still telling him, see, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus, because if you cross without Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And Jesus was like, come on, my holy sister. So I pray that he did. That's all I can believe that he did.
That's but, all you can believe, but yes. God is greater, right? God knew the death of these two doctors.
I preached to both of them. But with Z, I mean, I preached him over and over and over and over, and many people preached to them. So I hope by God's grace that in the last minutes, they made that decision. So.
Me too, because I didn't get to talk to him very much, but I did talk to him a little bit, and I heard him speak, and I thought he was phenomenal. But the two doctors that Clay brought on that were not believers in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God knew their timing. We just talked about death, right? And artificial intelligence. I'm sorry. You're not God. You're never going to be God. You can't tell me the last day I take my breath. But God knew these two men and when their last day was going to be. And he put them in a surrounding circle of just believers, because God will never
But the issue about it is that the issue about it is did they accept it? There are many people that, you know.
Right.
Because, I mean, did they? I said, personally, both of them, I preached to them over and over, I mean, no, I only preached to Prashad once. But he looked at me like, you're crazy. And I left him alone. But I talked to him over and over and over. So we can only hope and believe. Like I always said, you know, if the living know what the dead know, they will give their life to Jesus.
Oh, 100%.
And you know, the part about it is that we human beings always have a tendency to put people in heaven that will not give their life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. If you don't give your life to Christ before you die, you're going to go to hell. And when I say that, people are like, don't say you're being mean. I said, no, you have to tell people that if you don't give your life to Jesus and you die, you're going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you're making the whole hell thing looks like it's cute. Hell is not cute. Mm-mm. Hell is going to be the most devastating place a human being can end up. And if the Lord Jesus died for our sins, took our sins. I told a guy yesterday at Oklahoma, after I finished preaching, he was like, oh, I'm just waiting and I'm just thinking. I don't know what I believe in. I said, brother, you better give your life to Jesus. I pray like the veil will come off your mind in Jesus' name. I said, because if you don't give your life to Jesus and you die, you're going to go to hell. He said, oh, but I don't know. I said, it will be bad if you find out that I was right. Mm-hmm. You know? I said, the reason why you're sounding this way is because the devil has a veil upon your mind. And I pray that that veil will be torn off your mind and Jesus will visit you in Jesus' name. And I pray for that veil. She said, okay, amen, pray. You know, yes. I said, I sow the seed and I hope that God will meet him, take the veil of his mind so that he can see the light. Because if he doesn't, he will die and go to hell. But I'm a good person. I said, good people will die and go to hell.
Yes. That's true. And mm-hmm. the thing about God created the soul so that we mm-hmm. will want to fellowship with him.
Yes.
And people who have had out-of-body experiences all have mm-hmm. said this. People that were not believers and then came to God after said, all I wanted to do is be with God. Mm-hmm. But they knew something, and that's why God sent them back. You know, they mm-hmm. knew something that they weren't going to get to be with God, but their soul desired to be with God, and God brought them back to earth.
God's mercy, because many people were not brought back. Many people ended up in hell.
Right. And so here's the torture. I think the major torture of hell, the major one, I think, is, see, on earth, we can still all feel the Holy Spirit because he fills the earth. When after Pentecost, and he says, I'm going to bring your helper, and then the Holy Spirit kind of indwelled upon all the disciples. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. God's Spirit dwells upon
the earth now,
and
yes.
even if you're not a believer, you can still feel the presence of God, even if you don't realize it. In hell,
you will not feel that
anymore. It's done. It's cut off. There's no way to communicate or feel that God's presence in it. It's mm-hmm. done. And I think that is the most torture you're going to feel in heaven or hell, is being separated eternally forever from God. Like,
they are being separated eternally from good. Because you see, right now, the benevolence of God covers the earth. The benevolence of God allows light to still be on the earth, allows goodness to still be on the earth. In fact, Amber, after the rapture, the kind of evil that will take place on earth because the Christians, you know, upon which the Holy Spirit dwell, will be out of here with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The kind of everybody, the devil will now have full reign on earth with evil. Just mm-hmm. the kind of evil that will be on the earth after the rapture will be unimaginable. People will kill each other for no reason, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and then hell is bad because the total absence of good, total complete absence of God, light, love, good, total complete absence. And then the greatest torture will be their conscience. Part of the greatest torture will be, I saw God in the clouds. I saw God in the flowers. I saw God in nature, and I refused to acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. That would be, you know, I pray that, you know, like I said, Lord gave me this song. Tear the veil off. Let the scales come off our eyes, that we might see you and know you as you are. If the living know what the dead know, the run to Jesus, our Savior and Lord. So Jesus, tear the veil off. Let the scales come off our eyes, that we might see you and know you as you are. Let God tear the veil off everyone listening to the sound of my voice, so that they might know God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that if the gospel be hid, it's to those that are perishing, in whom the God of this world has put a veil over their minds, and they don't mm-hmm. see the light of the gospel. Mm-hmm. If the living knew what the dead know, mm-hmm. they will run to Jesus. Nobody right. will accept to go to hell. But the living don't know what the dead know, like the story of Lazarus. So we pray that God will give people encounters and show himself to people in Jesus' name.
Amen, sister. Well, if anyone wants to have a doctor that they can trust, I highly recommend going to drstellamd.com. You can set up a mm-hmm. telemed appointment. Grab those supplements, like the Kobe Light. Grab those. Yeah. And if you use my name, Amber May, at checkout, you're going to save some money. So that's drstellamd.com. Use promo code Amber May at checkout, and you can save some money. So thank you so much, Dr. Stella, for hanging out.
Let me see. One thing, please. Everybody needs to order the medical packs. Go and make a telemedicine appointment. 7 antibiotics you will need in an emergency, get it today. The COVID complete pack that has ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, budesonide, and a nebulizer, get them in your medicine cabinet. And if there's one thing you should get on our supplement group, is the daily immune boost that has COVID Light and Viral Immune Plus. Some get COVID vitamins, some are on different things. So please do it. Make sure you're medically prepared, physically prepared, spiritually prepared. And you know what? Don't be scared. When you're prepared, you're not scared. Amen.
Amen. In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program, at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show. EPSRA LLC is a registered investment advisor. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investment involves risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategies discussed.